If you're a business that sells to multiple audiences, i.e. you have different types of customers, that can be really challenging. You need to be really clear on who you're marketing to, and of course you need to resonate with each of these different audiences without turning the others off. Today, we're going to talk about how to do this. We're going to talk about some examples of businesses that have multiple buyer personas and how they sort of navigate this challenge both on their website and also in the promotion that they're doing. Now, this also is really important for businesses that have always targeted a single audience but want to branch out and target some additional audiences without losing their first audience as well. It works for B2B and B2C, and we're going to talk through some examples of both. Let's go.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast. My name's Tim Cameron Kitchen. I'm the founder of Exposure Ninja. We're a digital marketing agency that helps our clients generate more sales online. And that's exactly what this podcast is about as well. Today, we're talking about how to market to multiple buyer personas. There's different ways of doing this. We're going to talk through a nice approach that you can use if you're struggling to work out how to do this in a concise way. And you have, most importantly, limited resource, i.e. you're not able to set up loads of different social accounts for every single one of your target audiences. Now, it might seem really obvious, but the first step to any of this is making sure that each of your buyer personas is really well defined. So many businesses fall into the trap of saying, pretty much everyone is our target audience, right? Because more people equals more customers. But it also means that you spend way more money on marketing to try and reach everyone, and then there's a much greater chance that your marketing messages fall flat because they don't resonate with anyone because they're not narrowed down enough to actually make sense to people and compel them to action. So this can result in quite bland positioning. Now, of course, some people will say, yeah, Tim, but you know, whatever large business targets everyone, McDonald's or Coca-Cola targets everyone. But actually, do they really? Because once you dig under the hood a little bit, you start to notice that most large brand marketing campaigns are really segmented to different audiences. I'm going to talk through some examples. I'm on IKEA's Instagram page right now. I'm looking at a post which is all about how to grow your own microgreens, okay? And they're selling products on how to grow your own microgreens. These are like, I don't know what you call them, like cress, I don't know, to a microgreen ignoramus like I, it looks like small cress. But anyway, that's one target audience. On the next post, they're promoting some sleep products for babies. So this is this happy baby sleep. Today, we're celebrating all the little ones and their peaceful slumbers, lol. Well, this is a completely different audience to the microgreens because new parents probably aren't growing their own microgreens. They're just trying to get through each day. On this third post, we're looking at how to create your very own charcuterie board on pancake day. Again, completely different target audience. So whilst IKEA might look like a very broad company that has a broad audience, actually what they've done is they've chunked this audience down and they're producing content which is going to resonate with each of these individual buyer personas. Another example of a business that does this, booking.com. So booking.com, you can book trips, you can book hotels for all sorts. You know, anyone can book on booking.com. You can have really low cost stays, you can have 5-star stays. How do they produce content that works for everyone? Well, actually they group their audience down. I'm on an article here, which is the 5 places to get active this winter. This is clearly designed at an active target audience. And then they've got active holidays that are linked through and, you know, you can click to book more active stuff. This next one I'm on is all about people who enjoy nightlife when they're abroad. So it's things to do. They've got loads of this type of content, like where to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. Also for people who like to enjoy nightlife and like to, you know, get drunk, basically. And then there's this article here, baby's first trip from glamping to luxury resorts. This is all about taking your new baby on holiday. So this is for people that are just about to realize that going on holiday has become significantly less fun. So that's obviously not the sort of positioning of the article, but you can see here we've got completely different target audiences being addressed in each of these. So both of these brands are marketing to multiple audiences using different content. Now this can go too far in the other direction, of course. You can find that all of your content is just targeting one audience and you actually turn off your other audiences. sometimes a brand will start by targeting one audience and then find that other audiences are resonating with their products. I'm looking at an example, easycooldown.com. Fascinating example found by our marketing super ninja Jess. And Easy Cool Down is like a cooling vest that you can wear, say, when you're on a construction site, or say you're in the police force, or say that you're, you know, whatever, doing some job where you get really warm, and then they've got this cooling vest which keeps you nice and cool. But on their homepage, you can also see cosplayers, so people who are dressed up in costume. I've got no idea what this costume looks like, but it's some sort of like monster thing, this big black monster thing with a, yeah, it looks really scary. But anyway, they've got that person standing next to some guy wearing like a construction outfit. And then further along, they've got someone who's dressed in a fursuit, like a mascot. This is like a fursuit with, you know, it's like a life-size, or full-size dog thing with its arms out, right? Completely different target audiences here. So you might look at this and think, okay, cool. So they started off by creating these cooling vests for people in construction, and then found that cosplayers and fursuiters were buying them, right? Wrong. It was actually the other way around. So they started off by making these vests for performers and mascots, and realized that construction people and other people in other professions were also buying them. So what they've had to do on their website is they've had to segment, they've had to have different pictures with each of these target audiences to make sure that each one feels like this is the right place for them. And that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for each of our buyer personas to think, ah, right, I'm in the right place here. So have a look through your analytics, gather as much data as you can about your existing customers. And what you're really looking for is patterns that will help you group them into distinct segments or personas. Once you've got those patterns, you can then create detailed profiles for each of these personas, including things like, you know, demographics. If you're B2B, then job role responsibilities, goals and challenges, their buying process, their decision criteria, preferred communication channels, personality traits, values, all that type of thing. Having these different distinct buyer personas is going to allow you to tailor the content to make sure that you're matching each of them when you're targeting them. Now, we've got other podcasts and we've got a video about buyer personas. So there'll be a link in the description to this episode if you want to go and watch that. If you can just, go on YouTube and search Exposure Ninja buyer personas, and it's all sort of broken down for you. And by the way, if you want some help with your digital marketing, the team here at Exposure Ninja, we do this stuff for clients. We help clients identify who their buyer personas are. We have an incredible service which actually researches based on their customers. We go out and talk to their customers and we work out what the buyer personas are. Then we create marketing assets for you to use. We can use this information to redesign or rebuild your website and conduct your marketing campaigns. If you're interested in any of this, the first step is to request a free website and marketing review from us. So in this review, we'll analyze your digital marketing, we'll analyze your website, your target audience. We'll also have a look at what your competitors are doing as well. And we'll put all of our recommendations for the things that you should be prioritizing over the next 6 to 12 months into a video, which we'll email you. This service is completely free. There's no obligation to use Exposure Ninja or anything like that. But not everyone is eligible, I'm afraid. So you need to go to exposureninja.com/review. That's exposureninja.com/review to request your free website and marketing review today. Okay, so now we've got the basics in place. We've got your buyer personas designed. Now we need to move on to the digital marketing tactics you can use to connect with these multiple audiences. We're going to start with your website and conversion rate optimization. One of the first goals of our website, and in particular the homepage on your website, is to set the scene to make sure your audience knows that they're in the right place. This can be quite tricky if you've got multiple audiences, of course. So what we need to think about is the positioning statement that we use nice and clearly on our website, and make sure that it resonates enough with each audience to keep them on it, but doesn't turn off any of the audiences or isn't too generic so that they're all a bit confused about what you do. So let's talk through some examples. Now I'm on monday.com. They are it's a software company that makes CRM and project management software. And they've basically got different options. They've got different products. There's a project management piece, there's a sales CRM, and then there's a development piece as well. These are different target audiences with different goals that need different features. So how does the monday.com homepage combine all of these audiences? Well, their positioning statement above the fold is your go-to work platform. Now that makes sense to each of those audiences. It's not as strong as it could be, but they can't say your project management, CRM, and dev solution. they have to have something that's broad enough that it makes sense, but without being too specific. Now, we're going to come back to how they then cater to each of those audiences in just a minute. Another site that does this, crunch.co.uk. So Crunch is accounting software. They've got really two target audiences. They've got sole traders, so people who are just setting up their business and they're just a one-person band. And then they've got limited companies, so larger businesses. How do they cater to these audiences? With one clear statement, their website says, "You live life, we do the numbers." Now, I don't love this, and this kind of illustrates the difficulty that you can have with this type of exercise. "You live life, we do the numbers" is a little bit broad. It's sort of the sort of thing that you'd see on a billboard rather than on a website. But to be fair, above that, they have online accountant service and software. So that's their sort of keyword targeting, exact description of what they are. So to improve your conversion rate, your website needs to have clear options for each of these audiences. It's not just enough to have a general message, and then we just leave our audiences to go off and dig through the site to try and find the stuff that's most relevant to them so that they can sell themselves on your products. That's a recipe for disaster. We need to very clearly signpost where each of your target audiences is supposed to go. So let's go back to monday.com. We've got this your go-to work platform up at the top, and people can click to get started. But as we scroll down the page, we see that they're signposting to try and direct these different audiences to the right information for them. The first section says, "What would you like to work on?" and then has different options. Content calendar, that's going to work for marketing people. Goals and strategy, that's going to be more, leadership. IT tickets, portfolios, projects, tasks. You can click on each of these and you see a dedicated screenshot for that particular feature, and you can click to get started. If you scroll down further, they have different color schemes and different sections for each of their flavors, I guess, of monday.com. So Monday Work Management has the color purple. It's got this little logo and it's got screenshots, and you can click there. Monday Sales CRM is turquoise. You can click on that and it shows some examples and demos there. Monday Dev is green, and then Monday Service is pink or pinky red. So you've got these different options, and if you click on any of these, you then go through to a dedicated sort of sub homepage, which is all about that particular product. So it's designed for that special target audience. If I'm in ops, I'm not massively fussed about maybe the tickets or the dev piece. I want to know about how the work management thing works. So I know that when I click on this and everything goes purple, I'm in the right section of the site for me, and it's talking my language. It's talking about executing tasks, projects, processes efficiently, achieving shared goals at scale. Now, if you start talking about executing tasks and processes efficiently to a sales team, I don't want to generalize, but that's generally not what the sales folks are like. Trust me, I'm one, right? So it's a different message for a different audience, but it's on a different section of the website. It's a safe zone for the ops people, and the sales bit is a safe zone for the sales folk. Now, if you compare this to the Crunch website, so remember their target audiences are sole traders and limited companies. We've got this headline section, we've got a bit of description, and then there's just buttons straight above the fold, sole traders, limited companies. If you click on either of these go straight through to kind of intro or separate home pages, which are just purely designed for that target audience. The examples are tailored, the benefits are tailored, the screenshots are tailored to that audience. Everything is specific to them. And that's really, really useful, because if I'm a sole trader, I don't want to be thinking about things like payroll and processes and all this, giving access to my teams. I'm not bothered about that stuff. Whereas if I'm a limited company, that's the sort of stuff that's interesting to me. So we need to make sure we're giving the right message to the right people. Okay, e-commerce businesses obviously have had to signpost for a long time. If we think about clothing e-commerce, for example, imagine if an e-commerce store just had a whole bunch of, men's, women's, gender neutral clothes all just piled in one place, and they just left you to sort through. So I'm on ASOS.com, which is a clothing e-commerce store. Right at the top of the page, we've got them segmenting their clothing by men and women. So immediately I can click one of these, feel like I'm in the right place, and everything I then see is relevant for me, which is essentially what we're wanting to do here. Now, not everyone hits the mark. This is a difficult thing to do. I'm on the website for Wix, which is a sort of a DIY supplies site from the UK. So wix.co.uk. This isn't the Wix, the website platform. This is wikes.co.uk. Now, their page title says DIY and trade home improvement products and inspirations. Now, they've got two target audiences. They've got basically the DIYers, so consumers, but they've also got a trade audience. But they don't seem to be separating the experience for each of these audiences on the site, which is kind of an odd thing to do, because often you'd see this type of site doing that because, say, the trade people are going to be talking much more technical language. They might be searching in a different way. They might be searching for more specifics because they know exactly what they want. And then they're going to want to see pricing, which is excluding VAT a lot of the time. Whereas Wix has just thrown everyone into the same place. And it means, you know, if you think about, let's say, their content strategy, well, or ideas and advice, the ideas and advice that you would give a DIYer are completely different to the ideas and advice that you give a trade buyer, but they're not even doing that at all. So there's a bit of a missed opportunity here. Another website example is coachaccountable.com. So this is a software, this is a SaaS for coaches so that they can, you know, manage their clients through this and actually give their clients a login so that each of their coaching clients has a sort of a portal that they can log into. But on their website, knowing that they're going to have coaches and their clients coming to this website, the website is purely targeted at the coaches. The above the fold section says deliver better programs to more people with less work. Now, if I'm a coaching client, I'm not sure that that resonates with me. Do I want to know that my coach has signed up for a program that allows them to do less work and serve more of me? I'm not sure that's necessarily a benefit, but this is the platform, this is the page that I have to come to log in. So they've missed the trick there, and actually they probably should be segmenting that and probably tailoring this page actually to the clients, given that there are going to be more of them, but with a separate signpost that says, oh, if you're a coach, find out about this product here, and then taking those coaches through to a page which is much more tailored for them. So the action step here is review your key pages and check that the audiences landing on these pages can get what they need from them. Make sure that we're signposting. If you've got different target audiences hitting a page, they need different messages. Let's get some signposts in there as well. Now, we alluded to this earlier, but content is another way to connect with multiple buyer personas. Not only the topics that you cover in your content, but also the format of it, and of course, where you share it. All this is going to depend on the different buyer personas. Some of your buyers may respond best to video, whereas others may be looking for blogs. They might be looking for more technical information. Others might be looking for much more surface level or inspiration type content. So one example here is a pretty extreme example, but you know Sesame Street. Well, there's a business Sesame Workshop, which I think it might be related to Sesame Street. It certainly looks related to Sesame Street, that allows you to, that runs sort of like Sesame Street focused workshops. So they've got a presence on LinkedIn, where obviously they are very B2B focused. This is all about providing educators with like virtual events and tools and techniques to run educational events or whatever using the Sesame Street characters. So that's their LinkedIn approach. And obviously it's very B2B. Whereas on Instagram, all of their content is much more around families. It's targeting a family persona. So this is showing pictures of kids. They're not really trying to do loads of education stuff about using these workshops for whatever. There's not like, oh, join our free workshop and learn how to use Sesame Street characters for coaching math, for example. That stuff's all on LinkedIn. On the on the more family focused Instagram page, it's all, hey, meet this character, or hey, we've just won this award, or you know, whatever. Here's a picture of some kids. You know, it's that type of thing. So completely different audience, because it's a completely different channel with a completely different audience, right? Your buyer personas not only are going to impact the channels that you're choosing, but they're also going to impact the topics that you take on and the CTAs as well. So I'm on another example here. This is Airbnb. Now, Airbnb has, broadly speaking, it's got two audiences, in that it's got people who are staying at Airbnbs and it's got hosts. Of course, within each of those, there are multiple target audiences. You might have people that are staying because they're traveling on one long trip. You might have people that are staying in a massive group Airbnb for some sort of work conference. You might have people that are going really high end, people that are going for as cheap as possible. So obviously they've got different content targeting these different audiences. But just as a very broad example, there was a feature that they did fairly recently where you could stay in the hidden library at St. Paul's Cathedral. And they did a big sort of press campaign around this. They did some amazing PR around it. And the page that is linked to from all of that is on the Airbnb site. The call to action is obviously come and book, right? So this is a very public focus. This is a guest focused page. If we compare this to another page on their site, which is all about how to be an even more inclusive host, and this is all about inclusivity, it's understanding implicit bias. This is a very host focused page of content. So how do they make sure that these audiences find the right content for them? Well, they break this up in different areas on the Airbnb website. So all of the host focused stuff is in their resource center or in their community center where people can connect with other hosts. Whereas in the help center, that is the more guest focused content. So this is where they're sharing things like, oh, how do I log into my account? Or yeah, how do I talk to my host? Stuff like that. So they've segmented this into different areas on the site. And of course, the calls to action are appropriate. So in guest focused stuff, the call to action is always, you know, book a stay or click here to book or click here for these to view these listings. Whereas in the host focused stuff, to be honest, there are very few CTAs in a lot of their host focused stuff, which is a little bit disappointing. But if there were going to be CTAs, it'd be things like, you know, download this guide or list your property, stuff like that. Okay, different audiences, different formats, different goals then. So the next step, the action for you here is reviewing your content strategy to make sure that you're connecting with each of these separate buyer personas in different ways. So sometimes you can repurpose your content and use it for different audiences, but often it's about creating bespoke content for each of these audiences that's much more tailored to the different audience interests. Email is another fantastic way to connect with different buyer personas. And most email platforms will let you segment your audience, meaning you can send each of these segments super targeted messages. Having said that, a lot of businesses just have a single email list that they send to everyone, however they arrive. And, you know, they send their broadcasts out to the same people. They don't really tailor their messages at all. That's not ideal. That's not ideal. So what's much better to do is allow your audiences to see the information that's most relevant to them. And you can base this on maybe the products that they buy or the sign-up forms that they come through. So if they've signed up after a blog post about, you know, how to buy your product for new parents, well, then you might focus them, you might put them in an email stream, which is all about new parents and how your products work for new parents. Whereas if you've signed up someone because they want to get a checklist of the best places to get hammered in Prague, well, you're probably going to send them a different type of content. I hope you're going to send them a different type of content, right? Now, we've done this for one of our clients. You would have heard us talk about this before, but come on, 13 times ROI from email marketing in 6 months. We can't not talk about it. So one of our clients is Fabrics Galore. They sell fabrics online. Fantastic business, but they've got very different target audiences. They've got people who are buying fabric because they want to make dresses or because they want to make quilts or because they want to make furnishings, like home furnishings, cushions, sofas, that type of thing. But they've also got people who are beginners, confident, and experts as well. So we've got three different sort of interest groups and then three expertise levels. If we just send all of these people the same content by email, it's going to probably turn off at least 2/3 of that audience. Hey, how to get started with doing your first quilt, right? That's going to be fine for a beginner quilter, but for an expert furnisher or an expert dressmaker, that's like, why are you sending me this garbage? So what we did is, because this business collects a lot of email addresses, is we actually put an email in that main general sequence that allowed people to click on their interest and their confidence level. This then tags them in the email marketing software so that we can tailor the future messages to those audiences. We can move them into different streams according to their selection. So this sort of choose your own story can be a really smart approach. Alrighty. Let's take a look at how to target different audiences on different platforms. And we're going to use a very extreme example again here, Duolingo, everyone's favorite language learning owl. Although to be fair, I don't know how many language learning owls there are. So everyone's favorite is a little bit like, small category. Anyway, if you don't know Duolingo, it's a language learning app. If you do know Duolingo, you've probably got TikTok, right? Duolingo has blown up on TikTok with a very sort of unhinged approach to their content. So they've got this mascot owl thing, and this mascot owl thing seems to have, you know, evaded the Duolingo legal team and just can post whatever it wants on TikTok. So there's one here I'm looking at where it's fighting like Teletubbies and it's fighting the Scrub Daddy mascot. There are others where it's implying that it's swimming through like Dua Lipa's Wii. Like, it's just really, really random. And it's not the sort of thing that you would expect at, you know, a business to post. But on TikTok, it does really well. It's got a great sense of humor. It taps into the comedy and memes. The goal of TikTok, of course, their TikTok page, is to connect with maybe younger learners and build brand affinity. And then, of course, they're going to run ads to get app downloads as well. Now, on Facebook, it's a completely different approach. On Facebook, they're targeting a much wider audience. And if you posted some of the TikTok stuff, you're going to get complaints, right? They might not get the jokes. They might not understand what Duolingo is. So Duolingo's social ads, the ads that they're running on Meta, are much more tutorial focused. This is how to use the product. It's showing demos. It's giving the benefits of the product. And there's no owl mascot. There is like a little cartoon mascot, but there's no like physical in-person mascot running around fighting people. It's not like that at all. It's much more toned down, much more sensible, much more, I dare to say, safe. Now, contrast this again with LinkedIn, very different proposition because we've got a different audience on LinkedIn. So Duolingo for business is the thing that they're talking about here, or they might be talking about hiring, or they might be talking about their earnings and how the business is growing. So very different audience, very different approach, very different personality. These almost look like different businesses according to which channel they're on. And not every company takes that approach, but for Duolingo, it's worked incredibly well. So review your audiences on different social platforms through analytics, test different types of content to see what gets the most engagement and see the type of engagement that you get. What might resonate really well on one platform may just completely fall flat on another. So you've got to work out to find how that's going to work. Also worth taking a look at your competitors' social channels as well to see what's working for them. All right, last but never least is link building and digital PR. So when we want to increase our ranking on search engines like Google, we want to build links. When we want to increase the number of times that our brand is mentioned online so that we can get recommended more by tomorrow's large language models and chatbots, we want to do digital PR. We want to get featured on lots of different websites. So this is really important. But digital PR isn't just about getting links. Digital PR is also about getting in front of these different personas and understanding which websites they're spending their time on so that you can do specific digital PR campaigns to each of these. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to Crunch, the accounting software that targets sole traders and limited companies. Well, if we think about what Crunch's target audience, you know, those two target audiences have very different opinions, very different perspectives, very different goals in life. So I'm on a page on the GoDaddy website, which is targeted at really small businesses. The article is 10 best resources for side hustlers. So a side hustler is someone who started a business in their spare time. This isn't a, you know, a limited company. This is a sole trader. So a fantastic audience for Crunch to get their sole trader focused content or their sole trader focused approach out to. The sort of stuff that they're going to be talking about in this article isn't going to be relevant for the limited company people, but that's okay because Crunch has other features on, say, the UK government website where they're talking about filling in your tax return and they list Crunch as a supplier for small businesses. So that's fine there. But what you're doing here is you're thinking about, okay, where is our target audience spending their time online? For each of these personas. So for Crunch, okay, we've got these sole traders. What are they spending their time thinking about? Okay, side hustles, great. Who's posting the sort of stuff around this? GoDaddy, because you can buy your domain, you can get your website set up quickly. That's really nice for side hustlers. Let's go and do some digital PR. Let's see if we can get featured there. Now, you might be thinking, okay, this is going to double or triple my workload. But actually, that doesn't have to be the case. Sometimes you can take the same story, but share different angles on the same subject with different publications. Let's say, for example, you've done some customer research or you compiled some proprietary data and you wanted to do a digital PR campaign for this. Well, you might find different stories in that data which are going to resonate with different segments of your audience. Okay. And then you can go out to those publications that are going to be relevant for each of these audiences with those different angles. So you've done the work once, you've compiled the data, but you're then just sort of piecing it off and you're taking different bits into different areas in order to get those features. So there you have it. Marketing to multiple audiences doesn't need to be hard. You don't need to mess it up. You don't need to just publish like generic, bland messages that never really resonate with anyone. But you do need to be clear on who you're marketing to, and you do need a strategy for reaching each of those different audiences. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, don't forget to leave us a rating and review. I love reading them. And don't forget also to request your free website and marketing review from the team at Exposure Ninja. Just go to exposureninja.com/review to request your review today. Until next time, see you soon.